Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the program. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening in. Happy to have you here, friends, on the NOLA Drink Show this week. Got a really fun show coming up for you today. We're going to be chatting with the Bourbon Betties. That's right, the Bourbon Betties. It's a fine group of women who get together and talk about bourbon. They've got a podcast on the ABV Network. One of the Bourbon Betties is Barbara Hirsch Napolitano, my friend, who is also a fellow board member of the charity Kids Can NOLA that puts on the New Orleans Bourbon Fest. And so the Bourbon Betties were in town recently. We got together and taped the show to talk about what they do, women in bourbon, all kinds of really cool stuff. And it's a really fun show. Be on the lookout if you're listening on the radio. Go get the podcast at noladrinks.com because they clue me in on a couple of their show traditions. Tip, one of those involved slugging some bourbon right out of the bottle. That was a lot of fun. But a good show coming up with them. We're going to talk about some fun stuff, talk about bourbon, talk with the Bourbon Betties. Got some other good shows coming up for you down the pike here. Yep, we've been working with Tales of the Cocktail, as you know, mentioned that. If you're not familiar, Tales of the Cocktail is the world's largest bartender and spirits conference in the world. Normally, it takes place every July right here in New Orleans. But of course, because of the pandemic, we were not able to do it or have it here this year, unfortunately. But they did a hard pivot, did a great job. They moved it to an online virtual consideration, like a lot of us have been doing, I suppose. Excuse me, but they did a fantastic job with it. It took place the third week of September. One of the things that Tales of the Cocktail is known for, and this year, virtual or otherwise, was no exception, was the fine list of seminars. And one of the things that we did last year, we worked with Tales to build some shows around the seminars that addressed various issues in the hospitality, spirits, liquor industry, that kind of thing. And we're doing that again. So the show coming up after this one will be joined by my friend Chris Cabrera. And Chris is not only the Grey Goose ambassador for New York City, but they are also an educator and advocate for the LGBTQ plus community. So Chris will be joining us again as they did last year, maybe another panelist or two who joined Chris on the panel that they put on at Tales just a few days ago as I'm recording this. So really looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Another one that we got coming up, we're going to be talking about inclusivity in the hospitality industry. Last year we did a show that based on a similar theme. Of course, we'll be talking about some different stuff, but last year's panel was organized and led by Jackie Summers, friend of the show, Jack from Brooklyn, up there in Brooklyn. Go figure, Jack from Brooklyn. And Jackie's going to be joining us again. Also, last year we had Yannick Benjamin, the noted sommelier, who will also be joining us again. Samara Rivers, now Samara Davis, who is the founder and leader of the Black Bourbon Society, and Samara was on last year, will be joining us again. And then this time around, we got a new guest joining us, Lynette Marrero, the very fine and noted bartender up there in New York as well, who, aside from being a bartender, also co-founded Speed Rack, which is a terrific, terrific event, set of events, really. It's a bartender competition that takes place all around the country, and it's meant to raise funds and awareness for breast cancer research. A really good organization. But these are some serious luminaries in the industry. We'll be looking forward to talking with them. We're going to be doing another show, not necessarily connected to Tales or not connected to Tales, but very interesting nonetheless. We're going to be talking about the spirits of India. A lot of interesting stuff going on in that country in the world of spirits. So we're going to have three people on, different producers that will be joining us talking about sort of the traditions of spirits in India, what the scene looks like today, probably talk about the export market a little bit, and just kind of some things to find out. I'm guessing most of you out there, myself included, don't have a ton of familiarity with the spirits that come out of India, so hopefully that'll be a fun, educational, and I am sure it will be a very tasty show, so I'm definitely looking forward to that one. Stay tuned for that. We've got some other stuff coming down the pike that I'm also looking forward to. We'll be sharing that with you as we know it and as it gets on the schedule. Those are three highlights coming up there. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and then we're going to bounce back with our featured interview with the Bourbon Betties. Come on back.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're going to stay here to soothe our soul. We taste all that long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're going to stay here to soothe our soul. Come on, with our soul. It takes all that flow. Every afternoon when I wake up, I say a little prayer and drink up. Driving me home once more.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here on the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening to the NOLA Drink Show, friends. Always a pleasure to have you here. And as you know, we're going to be talking about bourbon today. We're going to be talking with the Bourbon Bettys. We are here in the worldwide headquarters of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival, which is otherwise known as Tracy and Barbara's house, and we'll get to that in a second. But please to welcome my guests that are here, the Bourbon Bettys, and we're going to start with Christy Atkinson from the ABV Network. Christy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really good. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming and interviewing us today.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And Barbara Hirsch, who is the co-founder of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival, along with her husband, Tracy. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Brian. How are you today?
I'm great. And I will say this, and not that there's any sort of legal aspect to this, but in full disclosure, you are a board member and co-founder, as I said, of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival.
Yes,
and
I am
now on the board of directors as well for Kids Canola, which is the charity that puts on Bourbon Festival.
Yes, you are. And we're very appreciative to have you.
Oh, that's very nice. You're only saying that because we're recording the show. I'm sure it was a regretful decision.
That is true. That is true.
Your husband's over here to my left nodding.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. But
you had gone way down the list, and I'm like, yeah, I'm around. So that was cool. And we have Katie Garrett, who is the proprietor of the Old Hickory Whiskey Bar in Pensacola, Florida. How are you, Katie?
I'm wonderful because I'm in air conditioning. We just got over the hit by Hurricane Sally, so this is our vacation.
Yeah, that's so nice to get away.
We're thrilled. Yes, so happy to be here.
I think a lot of, you know, Katie, I think a lot of people don't understand if you don't live in a hurricane zone. And when you tell them, to me, the point of evacuation is like junk food, cable, air conditioning.
Exactly.
We actually call it a hurrication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hurrication. Yeah. And you know, since we've been, knock on wood here, very lucky in the New Orleans area, I'm a firm believer, this is my mantra lately, if you plan a hurricane party and you don't have a hurricane, you still have the party.
Absolutely. And that's what we thought we were doing, and then the hurricane actually hit. So
yeah, sorry.
Whoops.
Sorry. Yeah. We'll ask you about that in a little bit. And then, and Courtney, Courtney Cantrell.
Hello.
Courtney, how are you?
I'm great.
It's good to see you again.
You too.
And it took me a second because you're out there working at the bar with Katie, and but you and I know each other from back a few years ago because you used to work at Barrel Proof.
Yes, I'm one of the lucky ones. I get to work at two of the greatest whiskey bars in the world. So. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I'm a lucky lady.
Yeah, very cool. How long ago was it that you were at, when did you leave Barrel Proof?
So I left 3 years ago.
Okay.
And that's about how long I've been with Katie.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
And are you from, where are you from? Are you from here?
Or? I went to high school in Ponchatoula.
Oh, okay.
And then I moved to New Orleans to go to Tulane.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, excellent. Yeah. Now, collectively, you are the Bourbon Bettys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about that. I'll let whomever tell us. Christy, you want to answer that question? Who are the Bourbon Bettys? And what are the Bourbon Bettys?
So the Bourbon Bettys are a group of strong women, know their bourbon. And I think one thing that we've definitely tried to push on the show is that it's not because we're women that we want people to listen to the show, but accept that we are, you know, as equal in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these women here have their backgrounds. They have the street cred for this industry.
Awesome. Christy, so you're the producer
of
the show, and you're with the ABV Network. Can you tell us a little bit more about your role with the ABV Network? Do you produce other shows?
Yes, I do. So I'm also the creative director for the ABV Network.
Okay.
I currently am producing two different shows on the network. So including the Bourbon Bettys, I also have Distillers Talk, which I host and am also the producer for. And it's two distillers, and we're interviewing other people that are in the distilling industry. We get extremely geeky. And then I also do a lot of like virtual tastings for the network.
Awesome.
And a feature writer for our Bourbon Zeppelin.
Is your background in like whiskey and spirits, or is your background in broadcasting, or a little bit of both? Or
nope. I'm kind of new to this industry, actually.
Oh, okay. Journalism background then, or how did you?
None
of the above.
None of the above.
Do I have to keep guessing?
Happy accident. So I live in Lexington, Kentucky. It is the heart of bourbon, and I just really got into checking out all the distilleries. I found that I love whiskey in general. I love all whiskey. It does not have to be Kentucky by any means. And I today actually have brought a Louisiana whiskey.
Oh, awesome. So we'll be sipping on that in a little while. Well, Barbara, so let me ask you this. How did you get involved with the Bourbon Betties? I mean, I know you keep books on seafood, and you have to keep a tab on this guy, your husband, over here. But more importantly, how did you get involved with the Bourbon Betties?
I absolutely love I keep books on seafood. Yeah.
Okay. We know each other.
Yeah. You got me. So, yeah, my day job, as I call it. Actually, we've known Steve since we started the Bourbon Festival. Steve Akeley, who's the founder of the ABB Network. And so they came to the very first festival, and they did a podcast from the event, and they've done that pretty much every year. And so I would come and talk to them, and they'd put me on the air, and then Tracy and I started doing guest shots or guest appearances,
yeah.
Thank you, on the network. And then he had this idea for a show for women, and I got a call and said, hey, would you be willing to do this? So it started with myself and Katie and another person, but we got Courtney now. So
very nice. So and Katie, so did you meet through the Bourbon Betties? Did you meet Barbara and Christy?
Yes, that's how I met Barbara and Christy. Yeah. So I was brought on also by Steve Akeley, just because he found out about my bar, Old Hickory. And again, I did a few guest spots, and that's when he contacted me about a women-based show. So that's how I got involved with the network. I've done a few other spots for them randomly when they need some help with some stuff. But that's me in a nutshell with the Betties.
With the Betties. Now, so how did you get into the bar industry? And did bourbon come first, or spirits come first, then bar? Or how did you?
No, not even close.
Okay.
It's a really interesting twist in my life. I went to school for historic preservation.
Oh.
And I graduated from grad school right during the middle of the recession, couldn't find a job, took a job I didn't like, and would just spend the day, you know, daydreaming what I wanted to do with my life, essentially. What would make me happy? Because I was miserable. And came up with the idea for Old Hickory sitting at my desk, wrote it down on a legal notepad, called my husband on the phone and told him my idea, and he didn't hang up on me. So I assumed that was like, it meant it might be good. And so about a year and a half after I came with the idea, we actually opened the doors. And then a year later, I convinced my husband to quit his really amazing full-time job to come and work for me.
Wow. Okay.
So we've been doing that for just over 7 years now.
So just kind of like a dream job, you guys wanted to run a bar? And
yeah, and it wasn't even really necessary I wanted to run a bar. I just knew, one, it was usually recession-proof. It's not COVID proof, I found out. But it was a great thing. I always love making parties for people. I like to entertain. So it really came from that background, and whiskey just happened to be my favorite spirit. And I knew there was a void in my market for a whiskey-based bar.
Okay.
And it grew from there. We went from 40 bottles on the wall when we opened to over 700 now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it went from a little small idea to a very large one. Quickly.
Right. Are you from that?
I'm born and raised in Pensacola. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Courtney? How did you find your way into this gang?
So the lovely Katie Garrett became pregnant, and it just got to be a little too much, you know, keeping up with the podcast recording and not being able to drink. Like, who wants to deal with that? So so Katie and I had a relationship for a while, and she thought that I would be a good fit to kind of step in while she took a leave of absence. And yeah, I feel like I was just a natural fit. And so I kind of just slid in and never left.
Gotcha. Just like
we
like
it. Did you know Barbara and Tracy when you were still here in New Orleans?
No. Okay. I did meet Barbara once before at a bartending competition at Barrel Proof.
Right.
But aside from that, I did not know them. Oh, but I'm lucky to now. So
yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. How long has the show been on, y'all?
It was a little over 2 years.
It was, the first one was Christmas Eve 2017. Mm-hmm. That was our first show.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Very cool. And when you first started doing the show, were you guys doing it remotely right out of the gate, since everybody's kind of far flung?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've only recorded together. We've never recorded a Betty show together.
No.
So that
we're
really thrilled to be in person with each other.
Okay.
Courtney and I have done it a few times together in Pensacola, but we've hung out before
just not doing a recording of a show. Oh, so this is cool. Okay. New and exciting for us to actually be in the same room. Usually we're just on the computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at each other through a screen.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. So you guys, after we finish up here, you guys are actually going to record your first show together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very exciting. I had no idea. Yeah. That's really cool. So how long are the shows that you all do? Generally.
Well,
does it vary widely? Let's go to the producer for that question.
So originally when I first joined the Bettys, half a year ago has it been? There were probably around like 28 minutes, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. We found that we get kind of chatty now, especially with our small talk, and we've been bringing in some different topics. Mm-hmm. So I think we're having some more controversial topics and some where we just have a lot more input. So now they're closer to about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. And so since you guys it's a podcast, you don't have to worry so much about it, right? It's just kind of what feels natural.
Right. And some of our topics we get very passionate about, and before we know it, I'm looking at the clock. Oh, we had to wrap up. We've been doing this for a while, but
give us a recent example, Katie, of something like a good topic that you guys really got your teeth into lately.
Oh, I can remember one.
Okay. So we're going to go back to the producer for that one.
You know, it comes down to the whole, you know, Bourbon Bettys. We did an episode about marketing towards women in the whiskey industry and spirits in general, but mostly whiskey. And there were a lot of examples we had where, you know, we were not impressed.
So please elaborate, Kristen. Or I will say this: we're going to take a break in about 2 minutes. So, but please elaborate.
Thank you. We need two words: Jane Walker.
Yeah, that was a large one that none of us were proud of. Not because it wasn't a great concept overall; it was just haphazardly thrown together, almost like a. This will make some women happy, right? Let's just slap a woman on the label, go from, you know, Johnny to Jane, and should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was one that we felt was a lazy attempt.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that, isn't there?
There's a lot of lazy attempts out there. But then again, you know, I think it's kind of hard in this market. There was another one. It was a Texas whiskey. Mm-hmm. They had on their
a lot of comments on that.
Yes, their website. I forget what they call these women. But they had like ambassadors essentially that were women, and you go on the website and there are these gorgeous women, which is fantastic. They're all wearing like matching outfits, cowboy hats, and they each have their own little profile. But literally the only thing on the profile is their name and their age.
Wow.
And we were thinking, why? We need to know more about you. Why are you involved? What makes you special to be in this ambassador position? Obviously, you're special, and there's something unique about you, and we want to know more about that. It's not just you're a pretty girl who drinks whiskey, because that's not enough. So they tried, but we wanted more. We want to know more about these individuals, not just show us a hot chick, and we're going to drink your stuff.
Yeah, if you're going to throw that ambassador, that's a high-level professional role, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And they had a whole webpage dedicated to showing these women, so which is amazing, but tell us more about them. We want to know them.
Okay, very good. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about this theme in general after we, you know, take a little bit of a break here. So actually, why don't we go ahead and do that, and we'll talk a little bit more about what we're sipping. We're going to talk about the Bourbon Bettys. We're going to talk about the New Orleans Bourbon Festival. We're going to get some of that in there, too. And we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, friends. Come on back. Brian Diaz here. Show friends, happy to have you here, and happy to be chatting with the Bourbon Bettys. It's a real pleasure. And we just learned that this is the first, and we are at the world headquarters of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival, which is we're not at a dog kennel. We're actually at the world headquarters of the Bourbon Festival, and we have live animals running around and hundreds of bottles of whiskey. It's all good. But it's a really interesting show that you all have created. And we were talking a little bit about this before the break that some of the marketing stuff that goes on. Can you tell us, I think because a lot of people are saying this, and I know it's kind of cliche, and we've talked about this on the show a lot, actually, you know, a lot of people associate bourbon in particular with like white dudes. And we know that that's patently untrue. What is the market these days for bourbon? Like, what's the, do we know what the market share is? It's like 40%, right?
It's somewhere between 38% and 40% women are.
It's all right. It's all right. Keep going.
Okay. And that is my baby Sazerac. It's 38% to 40% female drank. I don't know how much is female purchased, though.
Okay.
Because my guess is there's even more that purchase it than just drink it.
Right.
Because, you know, being a lot of women still are the ones that do most of the shopping in the family.
Right.
Hate to... you know, go with it's stereotypes, true. But it's true. Mm-hmm. So I would bet that the number who purchased whiskey is a lot higher. But yeah. Drink it, it's 38% to 40%, which is one of the reasons the Bourbon Festival has always had a focus on women and bourbon.
Yeah, importantly. And I think, too, it's worth speaking on as well. So we talk about market share on the consumer level. We are certainly seeing an uptick, I think, in distillers that are women in the industry. And like Katie, we were talking about ambassador roles. I think we see a much higher level of representation that way. As well, do you echo those sentiments? And
absolutely,
yeah, definitely. We, I mean, especially in the distilleries. I mean, we've been really excited to see the emergence of women in bigger and stronger roles, and you know, the fact that women have generally a better palate than men, it makes a lot of sense that they would be the master tasters and these things.
And we see that going on in the wine world as well and such. Now, let me ask you this. What attracts you all, and anybody can jump in here. We kind of touched on this a little bit in your backgrounds. Why bourbon and why whiskey?
I think for me, because, of course, I opened an entire bar dedicated to this.
So you had that going.
But what attracted me mostly to bourbon in particular is that every distillery comes to the plate with the same rules, and they have to follow these rules by law. However, depending on how they twist all these small nuances, they come up with completely different products. And to me, that is amazing that, you know, you've got all these big guys putting out stuff or craft stuff. Hello, puppies. Trace has got to go get the dogs.
Keep going.
But it's amazing to me that they can create things that taste completely opposite of each other, but be working with the same products and rules.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's all that the artwork to me of the mash bill, the yeast strain, the barrels they choose, and everything.
So it's a personal expression aspect of this thing, right?
Yes.
I always like to say, and I don't know how you all feel about it, and I come from a background in the wine industry. Regular listeners know that when we talk about spirits and we talk about alcohol, it's one of the few things in the world that it's actually the important blending of the rational and the irrational, meaning that you can scientifically, I can break down any bourbon or wine or whatever, but it's the artistry, the creativeness, the irrational that actually is what makes something really special. And I think there's only maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7 things on the planet that are like that. And I think spirits and whiskey are like that.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Courtney?
Oh, I was just like, that's a really beautiful way of putting it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you agreeing with me. You're like, no, that's stupid.
It's like, yes. I mean, I do the education segments on the Bourbon Betties, and I'm typically trying to do the scientific breakdown of, you know, whiskey and just like, just all these different general topics on it and like, you know, how various woods affect the whiskey itself, you know, how heat affects the aging process, that so on and so forth. But, you know, I can tell you all of that, but it's not until you taste two bourbons side by side that are, you know, from different states with different climates that you're like, wow, that's amazing. That something that you wouldn't think makes such a big difference actually does. Yeah,
absolutely. Like you said, the environment, the water, everything, the mash bill. Well, Barbara, I don't think I've ever asked you this question. What attracted you to bourbon and whiskey? How did you get into it in the first place?
So I was a Scotch drinker most of my life because my father was, and that's what I learned to drink. And when Tracy and I drank wine. Mostly wine and scotch. And when I met Tracy, you know, he was all about bourbon. So little by little, the bourbon was creeping into the cabinet and my scotch was getting moved farther away and in the corner. So I said, you know, if I want like to enjoy anything, I better learn how to drink this stuff. So I started slow, and little by little, you know, I've gained a palate for it. I love rye whiskey more than I like bourbon. And, you know, I became an executive bourbon steward because I didn't want Tracy to have anything over on me.
I respect that greatly.
Thank you.
So, and that's, did you find that coming from a background drinking scotch and drinking wine, that that kind of made it easier to bridge that gap when you start breaking down flavor profiles? And
a little bit. I had to kind of start with the easy stuff first. And then I also looked for more of the, you know, the peatier types of bourbons
because of
to
the scotch,
start,
sure.
And then I was able to kind of move in. And I find rye with the spice, even though it's not smoky, it's the spice of it made that a easier transition.
Yeah, that
for
kind
me.
Of baking spice mm-hmm. kind of thing going on. Yeah. What about you, Christy? How did you? So, what attracts you to it?
I'm a foodie at heart.
Okay.
And through that, I've tried so many different spices, herbs. I've been told I'm a super palate. So that's actually one of the things I do for the network as well. I'm also on a tasting panel for a craft distillery, so I do tasting notes. And I think my ability to taste certain things and be able to equivalent it to something makes me appreciate whiskey even more. And to echo what Courtney and Katie were saying, you know, there isn't one set profile for whiskey in general. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these different areas, and, you know, even going beyond regionality, you can experiment so much, and just little things you do within your pot still completely will change the texture, the mm-hmm. flavor, you know, playing with different esters. And I really love the whole science behind it and really identifying why something tastes the way it does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great answer. Let's do this, you guys. Let's go ahead and take a break here now, and then we're going to come back and we're going to chat a little bit more with the Bourbon Buddies friends.
Yonder, come on, man. Where I was born.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here, as always, on the NOLA Drink Show. Happy to have the Bourbon Bettys joining me there from the ABV Network. And you guys have y'all have been doing the show for about 2 years, right, as we talked about. And so, conversations about bourbon, but conversations about other things. What are some upcoming topics, and what are you guys looking to do with the show moving forward? Any ideas, or just
that's a great question. Okay. I know we've been pushing a lot of boundaries on that one, and trying to look for topics that you're maybe not seeing on blogs, but still are relevant. We've done a lot of interesting things lately. We did an episode on beer whiskey recently. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
That was something a little bit different.
So like beers that are aged in whiskey casks?
Well,
or
beers that are aged in whiskey casks, or whiskeys that started as beer.
Yeah, okay.
We looked at all of it, beer schnapps. Not really, you know, in favor or against, just, you know, let's talk about it. How do we feel about it? What are the different, you know, techniques that are going on? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to introduce a lot of new concepts to our audience. And, you know, push some taboos. What's going on?
Are y'all finding that's kind of what people want as far as, you know, obviously we have a broader array of products out there like you're talking about, and there's a big world of whiskey out mm-hmm. there. So is the audience kind of asking for more of that stuff?
I think people just want to know what's new and different. Mm-hmm. And okay. Because, you know, if you're going to drink whiskey, there's always your standards. And yes, you can go get a small batch of whatever, but they want to know about different things. Is it further finished? What are the cool things going on there? What about peated bourbons? What about, you know, craft? What about all these different things? So we at least bring something to them that makes them consider, maybe I should go try that. If they liked it, maybe I'll like it. Mm-hmm. And I know after the beer show, I actually bought a chicken cock that was was finished in beer barrels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I seem to have been the only one in my group that liked it, but I did like it.
Yeah. how do you all come down on this? We have different age representation here sitting at the table in your group, so. How do we find that people embrace things? I mean, we have traditionalists, we have purists out there, right? And then we have people that kind of are looking for something new and different spins. And like, say, when you're dealing with people, Katie, at the bar, what are you kind of seeing? Are you seeing
Courtney would be perfect for this question because Courtney is a bartender at Old Hickory.
Okay.
So she deals with customers obviously a lot more than I do. So Courtney, I'm going to throw you away.
Yeah, Courtney, please.
So I've been bartending at whiskey bars for about five, almost 6 years now. And when I began, it was definitely still trying to teach everyone that, you know, no, bourbon does not only come from Kentucky. And it was a little bit of an older age group there. But now I'm definitely seeing a lot more of the younger kids coming out wanting, they're the ones that want to get experimental though, you know, mm-hmm. like the older guys, like they typically come in and they know what they like. They don't want to see a menu, and that's just what they go for, you know. And the usually younger kids are, they want to have a conversation. They want to get your insight, you know. What do you think? Because we do we're tapped into a resource that maybe not everybody is as well as we are. Like, we have a little bit more insider info.
Okay, sure.
So, you know, we're the people to go to.
Courtney, what bridges some of that gap? Do you find that at times maybe it's a whiskey-based cocktail that kind of opens the gates for people to get into?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to do that. Okay. For sure. Because people want to try whiskey, and I can tell you a dozen different ones just like off the top of my head that you might be interested in. But I never want to sell somebody on what they think they want because most of the time they don't know. Like, if you don't drink whiskey and you want to get into that world, I always, always, always suggest starting with a cocktail. And if you're about it, then let's go from there. Mm-hmm. But there are people that are vehemently like, no, let's do a pour or something. I'm like, heck yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. And there's a lot of ways to approach that, right? You can ask people what they like, and then you can say, like, if you're a wine drinker, there's ways you can find bridges. Mm-hmm. If you're a beer drinker, we can find bridges. I mean, now with all these different products that are out there, I think that's the case. Mm-hmm. Now, how often do you guys do the show?
It's on a weekly basis. So every Monday it comes out, usually in the morning, but we're starting to play around with, you know, releasing it in the afternoon, catching some of our post-work crowd that needs something a little good on their Monday.
That's always a really good way to do it. Easier way into the week, right, Christy? Mm-hmm. Okay, I appreciate
start
that.
With bourbon.
Start with bourbon. I like that. So how many shows are on the ABV network these days?
Oh, there are so many. Our core shows, though, I'd say we probably have a little over a handful of core shows, but we have other shows that aren't as often. We have a daily show called The Bourbon Daily. We have another show that comes out every week called The Bourbon Show. So The Bourbon Daily is more lighthearted, more humorous. Sometimes they have bizarre topics on there, but you have bourbon personalities discussing these bizarre topics, like Cheese Whiz. And then The Bourbon Show is a lot more of a formal show, a more technical approach. Distillers Talk, one of my shows, is very geeky, highly technical. We're, you know, bringing in people who might be illegal moonshiners all the way up to like really well-known distillers, and then people who are just disrupting the industry.
Okay.
We want to hear from them. And those are our core shows right now. We have a couple other just little fun shows, but we're always looking at what the market wants this year. Mm-hmm. So we try out some new shows once in a while. We look at our what our statistics are looking like and go from there.
So is the network available? Is it on all the various podcast platforms?
Yes. Yes. We're available right on iTunes, or you can also stream directly from the ABV network website.
Okay, cool. So like if you go to iTunes and you have a network page for ABV on iTunes.
You would look on iTunes by show.
Oh, by show. Okay. Gotcha.
And I have to shout out to Spotify because I'm a Spotify user. We're on there too, which still blows my mind that I can search myself on Spotify.
Yes.
I love it.
I try. This show's on that one too. I try and avoid that, but it is kind of cool, isn't
it? Yeah. Oh, it's really cool because I'm like, I'm on this same streaming network as Taylor Swift. I'm important.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
okay, great.
Cool.
I've never been associated with Taylor Swift in my life.
So. And now you are.
Katie, thank you very much.
I may not sleep tonight now. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, Katie.
I may be mildly troubled. So we got about 3-4 minutes ish before we close out the radio portion of the show. What maybe I'll ask each of you to kind of give us what's your hot take right now in the world of bourbon or whiskey? Anything?
Like, that's a hot question real fast.
Yeah, boom.
Mm-hmm. That's like my cue music to get off the Oscar stage, I feel like. So
they're probably telling me to end my show.
Probably. But, yeah. I think so. I think the hot take right now is everybody just we're we're going to be coming out of a COVID world, so we're all interested to see what is coming next, because a lot of the distilleries had to go down to, you know, bare bones and probably just focus on the regular stuff. I'm interested to see if we get anything weird out of this whole situation.
Do you think like people are going to kind of strip down to core brands again, kind of thing? Is that what you're saying?
Or, yeah. 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 Okay. And between everything going under such high allocation, people are kind of getting, to me, I think, getting over that. The whole cliche of, oh, I've got this. You know, the people, the collectors that don't drink, I guess, is the thing. And we get on hot topics like this on the Bettys, where we're not afraid to really speak about how we feel about things like that, you know, because I think that's a big problem. Collectors who don't drink their stuff. And Barbara is wonderful. Tracy, if it's here and it's open, drink it. If it's not, we talk about it. And I have the same rule at my house, too. So I think that's going to be interesting. People, I don't think they're going to keep doing that.
Right.
They're done with the secondary market.
And, okay. And it's jacking up prices, right? And
exactly. All that kind of stuff. That's what I think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Courtney, what about you? You got a good one? I can come back.
Well, see, I feel like, I mean, now, this day and age, the after the COVID pandemic, well, not after, we're still in it, but I think a lot of people are being pushed to support local and try your local distilleries. You know, they're struggling just as much as anyone else. So obviously we want to help out our people. And I think in doing that, they're allowed to be a little more inventive and creative, and they're driving the market and those like bigger staple brands to do the same.
Okay.
To kind of keep up at that level, like, oh, this little distillery is brewing with hops, like which, you know, big distillery is going to do it next. Or distilling with hops, not brew with hops. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Barbara, what's your hot take?
So, as you know, as we continue to build a, you know, a bar and a collection of whiskey, I think my thing right now is really diving more into other people's palates, so store picks or event picks and those type of things, because those are single barrels, you're going to always get something different and something new and something exciting.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of been my kind of what I've been moving towards is, you know, why get the standard stuff when you can get something new and different or something further finished or something creative or off the charts.
Nice.
So,
and drink it, right?
Well, I believe in drinking,
it. Yeah.
In my house, I don't always win that battle.
Christy, real quick, what's your, give me a 20-second take there.
Yeah, so I see two themes going on right now. Number one, how are we going to differentiate ourselves in the market? You've got a lot of saturation going on, a lot of new distilleries. Some distilleries are also going out. So what are you doing to make yourself different and still good? How are you going to, if you're a heritage brand even, how are you going to stick around with this new market coming in? We have a younger generation, or we have people who maybe have never had whiskey before, but they're hearing about the allure. And then also, we have a market that is becoming more educated. Regardless of what generation you're from, people are learning a lot more about how whiskey is made. They're becoming a lot more savvy on sourcing and developing their opinions on that.
Mm-hmm. Great. Really quickly, tell people one more time, where can they find the ABV Network and the Bourbon Bettys?
You can find the ABV Network at abvnetwork.com, and the Bourbon Bettys are on that website.
Awesome. And Katie, Old Hickory Whiskey Bar.
You can
Bar,
find
please.
Us on all social media platforms at Old Hickory Whiskey Bar, and you can find me personally on Instagram at katieelizabeth1821.
Awesome. Very cool. Do you have a handle?
Sure,
you
Sure, yeah. I'm on Instagram at courtney.cantrell, and I also have a monthly bartending class that I do through the ABV Network. This next month, October 28th, is going to be my Halloween-themed class.
Very cool. You all are sticking around for another shot with NOLA Drinks. Barbara, I'm going to have you hold that thought. So we got to take, got to close out the portion of the radio show here. So friends, remember, be kind to one another. As always, use your turn signal. Yeah, take care of yourselves. Cheers, y'all.
Come just like company you keep. Then he said, all these saints and all these sinners will try to bend your.
All right, everybody. Yep, another shot with Nola Drinks. Thanks for sticking around, friends. Happy to have you here. Hope you are enjoying our conversation with the Bourbon Betties. It was certainly a good time hanging out with them. A lot of laughs behind the scenes and a lot of laughs that you're getting here on the air. We're about to bounce right back over and continue our featured interview with them. Here we go. Yep, another shot with Nola Drinks, friends. Thanks for sticking around. We are chatting here with the Bourbon Betties. Happy to have you all here. And yeah, so I have to – we were talking about this during the break, Katie, because I'm going to ask you this question, and Courtney, both of you. So how is the bar? Just because we talked about Hurricane Sally briefly, but tell everybody how you all do, how you all are doing.
Right? We're doing great. So okay. Old Hickory, literally not one drop of water anywhere, which is crazy because if anyone listening watched Jim Cantore on the Weather Channel when he was in Pensacola doing the live shots, he was at the corner of Main Street and Palafox, and my bars are located on Palafox, only three blocks away from where he was, and it was up to his waist. Wow. So we're just really lucky the spot we're in happens to be on a slight hill, and we didn't get anything.
So no storm surge and okay,
nothing. Good news. Yeah, so okay. We'll be back up and running as soon as, you know, the boil water notifications you always have after hurricane. Once that's gone, because we have power there again, we'll be back in business.
So. Awesome. That's good news. I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, us too.
So here on the Bourbon Betties, I've been educated that you all do something called a bottle pull here regularly.
Oh, yeah.
And I think even though we're doing this, does somebody want to film this, Tracy? Maybe you should actually film
okay.
this.
Okay.
The dogs are under control here at the worldwide headquarters of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival. So you notice it's
Barbara,
a little quieter.
Grab me something that's not as fancy as what I have, because I'm not bottle pulling this gear. This.
Why not?
I just don't want to.
So somebody walk me. You got that, Tracy? So Tracy Napolitano here is also the co-founder of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival. We're making him actually do technical shit, which is actually one of the hard things for Tracy to do.
Yeah, that sounds great.
JW Dan, I love it.
Okay. We're pulling random bottles right now from Barbara's
bar. And I've got one. So walk me through this. Like, walk me through the whole thing. Like the tradition, the concept.
Yeah. So, the tradition, it began because Barbara had a rough day at work. And I think I probably did too. I don't honestly. It was during COVID.
I think we all had.
It was during COVID. So life was giving us hell. And we were like, I looked around and I was like, you guys, I am too sober for this. You're going to have to, I can't do this. Lubricate me up. And so we said, let's just do bottle pulls. And we all pulled a random, something simpler for our home bars. And it's a tradition we do before we start every recording, because we do pre-record a lot of them. We'll do 2 to 3 at a time. And so usually by the third episode, they're a little more chatty.
Sure, that makes sense.
The longer ones.
Those are the longer ones. Yeah, those are the ones that are 45 minutes
that's
long.
That's why we do this segment on the show.
Yes. Exactly.
So. It's very much a bonding ritual, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
It's like, hey, girls, how are you doing? Though we record separately in other cities across the Southeast, it's kind of like our, hey, I missed you, because we're really great friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So you pull a bottle, and then everybody. So the idea is that we want to get the audible portion of this.
No, that's
right?
different.
Oh, that's different.
We have two traditions. We'll roll into that one next. Okay. This one's done off air.
Okay.
Bottle pulls are when we literally get together and are like, oh my God, how was your day? Oh my God, this is what happened to me. Let's have bottle pulls so we can get a little more excited about being together.
Okay. Gotcha.
So bottle pulls, literally just to get ourselves in the mood.
Okay. So what do we have?
We're all just pulling some random bottles right now. I have J.W. Dant, Bottled and Bond, which I always love a bonded.
I have the Ancient Age 10 Star.
Perfect.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Barbara and Chrissy, what are you guys doing?
So I'm doing a bullet single barrel called Barbara's Dream.
This is our fanciest bottle pull ever.
Wow, very nice.
And I have Tremé Alchemy Whiskey.
Okay, very nice. And I've been given this one in my glass right now is the Four Roses Single Barrel Strength.
Which is, there you go. I like that.
Not a bad choice here.
We're usually like
that a day.
When you do those barrel pulls.
That's when it gets real crazy. Pulls,
then we have really great conversation.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. So this one, you just take the top off, and I call it ticket to the dome. You bottle to lip. You just drink straight out of the bottle.
Okay.
So let's do one for tradition.
Okay, cool.
Cheers, guys. We get to cheers in real life. Clinks. All right.
Boom, boom. Thank you.
Barbara, did you leave the cap on again?
Mm.
That's
I like
the thing
this.
That she's done.
I like this tradition.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Yeah, that's tradition one.
Okay, so tradition two.
Tradition two, that's the audible portion of the segment.
Okay.
So during our show, we get together, we have a little bit of small talk, and then Barbara reads us a news story, and then we get to the best part, which is the drinking part.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually all have a different whiskey. Sometimes, a lot of times, Barbara and I drink the same thing. We just have that ESP. It's wild.
Okay. It's downright weird.
It really is. But the whole point of it, and it started with the ABV network, started it a while back, and every show just about kind of has this tradition of it's called a bottle pop, cork pop.
Yeah.
And you literally pop the cork off your whiskey, and whoever has the best pop sounds wins. So
and wins accolades, right?
Accolades. Yeah. Wins like right, you know, golf claps. Yeah. So would you like to join us?
I would love to.
In a cork pop challenge.
I hope I didn't screw up the first tradition. So
no,
I'd love to try.
You did it perfect.
I'd love to try the second
one.
Well.
You did
okay,
great
thank you.
For the
thank
first
you.
One.
Yeah,
yeah
I'd love
yeah.
to.
So we'll just go around the table in order. Barbara, start us off with yours.
Okay. Do we identify like with what we have?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Okay. I'm back to the bullet again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, why not? I'll use the same one. So
boom. That was a good one.
That's a deep one. Little squeaky, little deep.
Okay. Yeah. It's good. Had good resonance in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good.
That was good
to know.
I'm so excited that Chrissy is doing the cork pop with us because she usually is on her mic's on mute because she's our producer.
I do the bottle pulls.
She does bottle pulls, but she never gets to partake in a cork pop.
Nice.
So, yeah, show us.
So today I have the Lee W. Sinclair, the new one.
Lean on in there, Chrissy, the mic. Yeah. Okay.
I have the new Spirits of French Lick Lee W. Sinclair. This is actually made by my good friend Alan Bishop. And this is the second expression of this.
Okay, nice.
Ooh. Not bad.
Also a very good one.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I like it.
I'm going to go next because I know I'm going to suck, so we got to finish strong.
No, you don't know.
We got to finish strong.
So I see you have a fresh-looking bottle, and a lot of times those are the best.
Okay, so this is from 7-3 Distilling right there on where we had Claiborne, right, in New Orleans. A fine local distillery that opened up, what, three years ago, probably? I'm going to guess something like that. And it's their whiskey, so we'll give this one a shot. Uh-oh.
See?
Oh, beautiful.
Fresh bottles make
really
the nicest
no
pop.
And I'm wearing a white shirt, and I don't think I got it.
I don't think you did. But if you did,
like
now it's
pro.
Cologne.
Okay, now it's cologne.
Now it's cologne, so that's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I didn't get that, like, the echo, but it was a clean pop, I think.
I
so.
Prefer the clean pop.
Okay,
that's my
thank you.
Favorite kind
You're
of
making me feel
pop.
Better about myself
so,
right now. Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we go.
I'm actually cracking into a Garrison Brothers single barrel, which I love Garrison Brothers for years. I've been going to the distillery. Old Hickory had their own, and this is one of the picks from the New Orleans Bourbon Festival that I'm getting to try tonight, so I'm thrilled because they know how much I love Garrison, so let's see how good they do.
Ooh, that sounded like a good like pirate movie rum bottle.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm like, it still looks large in my hand. That's the running joke that everything looks small in my hand. So.
All right, Courtney,
large,
bring it on.
Large, which is probably better for most things.
Things.
Yeah,
bring it on home for us, Courtney.
Okay, so I have our local and loved Keefe and Co. Single barrel select of their Eagle Rare.
You're right there on Howard Avenue. All right,
yeah,
John
let's go.
Over there, Keefe and Company.
Some good stuff.
Oh! Whoa.
I think Courtney has that
no.
one.
I don't know. No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I prefer a clean squeaky pop.
Yeah.
So
I'm voting for Courtney.
I'm going Courtney.
All in favor of Courtney?
Me.
That's right. Sorry.
We've got
Steve Akeley wins, even though he's not here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Not today. Back today.
Well, thank you.
So I guess we're going with Courtney.
Yay. All right, Courtney, congratulations.
So, yeah. And that's thank the Cork Pub
Thank you for letting me participate in both these traditions.
You can take that with you if you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. The bottles, I will absolutely take the bottles with me. Is that,
with no.
Okay, I tried. I tried. Really quick, y'all, before we close out the podcast and only segment of the show, Barbara, because I want to make sure that we get in some information about the New Orleans Bourbon Festival.
Okay.
We've done a little pivoting, a little changing, stuff like that. So,
yes, we have. So basically, we have had to postpone the full event to 2021, but fortunately for everyone who bought a ticket, they're going to be good for next year or the year after. Unless they want to make a donation to our wonderful charity, Kids Can NOLA. We're also going to be doing some Zoom-type events coming up, and they will be available to anyone who bought a ticket.
Big news on that front coming soon.
It's coming soon. I don't really have all the details yet. And we're going to be doing some raffles for the festival, I mean for Kids Can NOLA, with some amazing bottles of whiskey, including a large selection of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival picks from last year.
Awesome.
And all of them, actually, and I think it's 17?
Wow. Roughly.
Like 17 bottles, and the ticket's going to be pretty reasonable, and I think everyone needs to pay attention to that, because some of these bottles, like the Bullet Barber's Dream that I'm drinking, is there's some pretty amazing stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And a website for New Orleans Bourbon Festival?
What? I'm
sorry? The website for the New Orleans Bourbon Festival?
www.neworleansbourbonfestival or nobourbonfest.com. And then, of course, there's also kidscannola.org. Mm-hmm.
Which is, we've talked about that
That's
before
our
on the
charity.
Show. That's our charity, which is really right. important. Barbara, I just noticed something really, really important here.
Oh, I do have
one other thing.
So we're also raffling off a trip right now. It's got 2 weeks left. And if you, the tickets are $25 a piece or five for $100. And if you win, you get to be part of the picking team with the New Orleans, for the New Orleans Bourbon Festival picks in Kentucky. And it'll include transportation and lodging while you're up there. Mm-hmm. And I'm how many picks is it? Like eight picks at eight distilleries picking whiskey. And you could win that for $25.
And all of this will be shared on our show notes, friends, so you can go check that out. We'll have all the links when they're all up and ready, and it'll be on our social media and all that good stuff. And I, Barbara, I do want to note that we have Greg and Judy here who are giving us some information. And as two other board members of Kids Can NOLA, we actually have quorum.
Oh, so what do we want to vote for right now?
We could actually vote on something right now, couldn't we?
Would it be inappropriate? No, I won't go there.
We're going to close out the podcast portion of the show, friends, and I'm going to be back with my parting shot. And then if we vote on something and maybe, you know, kick Tracy out, we'll report on that later. Friends, thank you all so much for being here. I really appreciate
it. Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. Friends, I'll be, brief musical interlude. I'll be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening in to the NOLA Drink Show, friends. Definitely happy to have you here. Great show there with the Bourbon Betties. Be sure to check out their podcast on the ABV Network. We will have a link, or we have a link. It's there. We have a link on our show notes on our website where you can go easily make a one-click transaction, if you will, to get on board with their podcast. It's a lot of fun. Always good to listen to. They do a weekly show. It's usually about 30 minutes or so talking bourbon and other connected things. So be sure to head on over to NOLADrinks.com, check out the show notes for this episode, and you can get connected with them there. Got a great show coming up for you next week, friends. We are going to be chatting with my friend, Chris Cabrera, and Chris is the Grey Goose. Well, you'll hear, Chris has a new position. Chris was the Grey Goose ambassador for New York City, but now Chris is going to be doing something different. And aside from being a brand ambassador for Grey Goose, Chris is an outstanding activist and educator and leader in the LGBTQ plus community. And they put on a fantastic seminar at Tales of the Cocktail recently, talking about LGBTQ plus issues in the industry and in the hospitality industry, liquor industry. And Chris joins us to talk a little bit about the seminar, issues at hand related to the community, the queer community, and how it relates to the industry. And then we even talk a little bit about just, you know, kind of comparing and contrasting the weirdness that is COVID in New York City, as well as here in New Orleans. So really great show. It was really great to catch up with Chris. We're good friends. Chris was on the show with me last year, and we had a great time, and we have a great time again. So very educational, but lots of laughs along the way. So be sure to check that one out next week. After that, we got another good show coming up for you, talking about the spirits of India. We have three great producers, two of whom are based in India, and one who is Indian-inspired, but based here in the United States. Really fascinating conversation about the traditions, the history of spirits and liquor production in the country. We talk about the domestic market in India a bit, but then we talk a lot about the export market. We taste through some great stuff. Really a lot of fun there. So be on the lookout for that one too. Friends, this is our parting shot. Pretty simple message here on the show this week. If you are here in the U.S., our national election is right around the corner. Get out and vote. Please get out and vote. For one, you can't complain if you don't vote. Okay, that's point one. It's our civic duty. So many people, yes, we know there's a lot of shenanigans going on with the elections and things like that, but people physically risk themselves. They face physical danger. They stand out in storms for hours, all kinds of things to vote in many places in this country. We do not have that here. It is our civic duty to get out and choose the leaders to represent us and represent our viewpoints. And believe me, if the vast majority of us who are eligible, to vote went out and voted, this country would be a very different place. Please go out and vote. Do your research. Know who your candidates are. If you're looking at propositions or state constitutional amendments or whatever you got going on, do your due diligence. Know what you're talking about. Know why you're voting, for whom or for what. But get out there and do it. If you can still do early voting where you are, go on, do it. Get out of the way. Be done. Okay, it's probably a little late, especially with all the shenanigans, probably a little late for mail-in ballots when you're hearing this. But if not, go out on Election Day on November 3rd. It's incredibly important that our voice is heard so we can make this country a better place. Let's end the buffoonery, shall we? Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you.